You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox. I cover the Chicago Bears for NBC Sports Chicago, and I cover the NFL for Pro Football Focus. Locked On Bears is your podcast destination for daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. And today, we're taking a look around the NFC North to try and get a sense of whether the Bears actually can hold on to this NFC North lead and finish the season with that division crown. We'll take a look at the Lions, Packers, and Vikings and try and get a sense for their slow start to the season and maybe piece together whether or not the Bears can maintain their lead and whether or not those teams can get back to the level of play that many of us were expecting this season. In order to help us break down these NFC North teams, I want to turn to our friends on the Locked On Podcast Network here and rely on Matt Deary of Locked On Lions and Peter Bukowski of Locked On Packers with a blurb from their respective podcasts here to give us their perspective on their relative teams, and then we'll chime in and kind of talk through what they said and what I think about these teams and kind of how the Bears stack up as we move to the rest of the season. Let's start with the Detroit Lions sitting at the bottom of the division, potentially looking like the worst of the four teams. The Matt Patricia era hasn't been the start I think they were particularly looking for in Detroit. Just one win in their first four games, and that was in week three against the New England Patriots of all teams, but a close late loss to the Cowboys last Sunday really kind of left a sour taste in Lions fans' mouths. And Matt Deary's been breaking it down all season on Locked On Lions, and he kind of shares his take on where they stand and what's kind of holding them back at this point, particularly on defense.
You can blame Matt Patricia all you want. Go for it. But the Lions don't have enough good football players on defense. That's it. They don't have enough material. I really like Glover Quinn. Glover Quinn's on the downside. He's not the player that he used to be. Darius Slay's a monster. He's really, really good. Deshaun Hand, the rookie D tackle, once again, keeps getting the job done. What else do you have? Your best defensive tackle in terms of a veteran and a starter is Ricky Jean-Francois. He was signed a week before training camp. There's nothing on the edge doing much. Devon Kennard and Eli Harold, they put up some sacks. Kennard's been pretty good. But when the Lions needed a playmate at the end of that game, when they needed to get to Dak Prescott, I didn't see Devon Kennard around the football enough. You know, and he's had a pretty good year. And he had a sack and two tackles for loss and a quarterback hit. Devon Kennard's okay. He's okay. But if you want to knock off the Chicago Bears in this division, look at the monsters that they line up on in Chicago with, you know, Akeem Hicks and Roquan Smith and Eddie Jackson. And let's talk about Khalil Mack. There's just better football players within your division on defense. Look at Minnesota. The Vikings are hurting right now without Everson Griffin. But all the other guys that they have on that defense, you just list them on and on that have been in Pro Bowls. The Lions don't have enough players. Darius Slay goes out and bangs his knee. And the Lions have to bring Jamal Agnew into the game. Jamal Agnew is a six-round pick that returns punts. That's the problem. 2 years ago, the Lions drafted Jared Davis in the first round and Tez Tabor in the second round. Neither of them can play. Neither of them are good. Jared Davis has to play because there's nobody else at middle linebacker. He's a first-round pick. He's terrible. He can't cover Zeke Elliott out of the backfield. We saw that. It was the biggest play of the game. He's not a starting middle linebacker in the NFL right now. I think this secondary can be pretty good. Tracy Walker's playing big minutes all of a sudden. Quandre Diggs is a good football player. That's another guy I would put up there as a pretty good football player. But Quandre Diggs is more Lions good than league-wide good. but there's just not enough out there defensively. Sylvester Williams was a free agent signee and a guy supposed to take Haloti Ngata's spot at D-tackle. They can't stop the run. They can't. Cannot. Crowell gashed him. Breida gashed him. Had a good game last week against the Patriots. Zeke gashed him. That's 3 out of 4 games. If that trend continues, every, 3 out of 4 games, they're going to finish 4-12. Because in order to get Stafford and Kerryon Johnson, all these guys out on the field, you got to stop the run. And the Lions aren't doing it.
Again, that is Matt Deary, host of Locked On Lions, here on the Locked On Podcast Network, coming from one of his episodes this week. And it's clearly a Lions team in turmoil right now. A defense struggling to stop anyone. They got that win against the Patriots, but not seeing a ton of talent overall just on paper that can, give them some hope for turnaround there. You know, Stafford in the offense, they've been able to have some success this year. They've been getting the passing game going pretty well, like usual. The running game is picking up for the first time in a long time with Kerryon Johnson, their rookie second-round pick. But, boy, they just can't string it all together. They can't get Stafford to truly, carry them for 4 quarters. It takes a lot of mistake-free football from Stafford, even with the weapons that they have, even with a running game coming together. Their offensive line is banged up. They haven't gotten great pass protection, haven't gotten great run blocking, and the Lions are not a team I think is ready to compete for this division crown yet. They're still a little bit of a ways away, and I don't think we'll see them ultimately creep back into this playoff conversation, or at least not this division crown conversation. Coming up next, we will hear from everyone's favorite Green Bay Packers analyst, Peter Bukowski, playing a blurb from a Locked On Packers episode about some of the struggles that the Packers are going through and what is at stake here in the coming weeks. That's next on Locked On Bears. Today on Locked On Bears, we're assessing the rest of the NFC North to try and get a feel for how well the Bears can legitimately compete for this division crown. And we move from Matt Deary and the Lions to Peter Bukowski and the Green Bay Packers. He hosts, of course, Locked On Packers here on the Locked On Podcast Network. You've heard Peter Bukowski on this podcast before, and he's doing a great job of keeping up with this sort of growing drama between Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy. Here's what he had to say this week on his podcast.
Offensively, they need to get on the same page, and Aaron Rodgers spoke about it at his locker on Wednesday, said that he felt like he and McCarthy had a very strong relationship, that communication is important, and that they have the ability to be upset, talk about it, and then hug it out. Those were his words. And I think Aaron understood that he spoke out of frustration. Hopefully that's all it is. It seems like they are working to get on the same page. That was exactly the report that Ian Rappaport had for the NFL Network on Wednesday. So I don't think this is anything to cause concern for now. But if they go out and let's say, lay an egg, maybe that tension rises a little bit. And if they struggle again against San Francisco and then, they go to L.A. off the bye week, if they get boat raced because they can't score points in L.A., that's when the tensions could really start to bubble over. And so what this team needs is a good offensive performance on Sunday, not just because that's probably what they're going to need to win the game, but because it would be an important stepping stone for this team from a culture standpoint, especially between the two cultural touchstones, really, of this franchise. I mean, Mike McCarthy sets the tone for the entire organization, really, and Aaron Rodgers is at worst 1B in that regard. And, earlier in his career, there had been discussions about, does he have the leadership skills you need? Is he accountable? Well, he said Wednesday, look, I have to play better. We all have to play better. And it starts with me. He took that on himself. And I think you can see it and you can hear it when you listen to players talk about him and his impact on this team. The young players on this team look up to him. It seems like he has gone out of his way to do a lot of the things that Brett Favre never did with Aaron and really never did with any of the young receivers, to try and mentor them and help them get better because, look, Rodgers understands. He needs these young players to come through. He might need Marquez Valdes-Scantling and Jamon Moore to play snaps on Sunday. In fact, Jamon Moore said he feels like he's practicing better and he's really starting to figure things out. Aaron Rodgers agreed, and what Green Bay needs is for Rodgers to have some level of confidence in those guys.
That was Peter Bukowski, host of Locked On Packers here on the Locked On Podcast Network. And of course, the Bears have seen Green Bay, have lost to Green Bay already this season. One of the Packers' only two wins, sitting at 2-1-1 here, second place in the NFC North. And I believe they are still the Vegas favorites to win the division, even ahead of the first place Bears. And, you know, it's something with this Packers team where you just kind of always expect them to figure it out and put it all together, at least enough to a point where they're making that big playoff push. You know, not that they're going to dominate the league by the time the year's done, because they have some real significant flaws that won't necessarily go away. You know, their offensive line has some clear weaknesses outside of those two tackles that everyone knows can really hold up the edges. Their receivers haven't been making a ton of plays, and now Geronimo Allison and Randall Cobb are both doubtful, I believe, this week, and Davante Adams is on the injury report as well. So, you know, there's some lingering, you know, questions about playmakers, questions about this offense kind of connecting with a head coach maybe not necessarily putting his quarterbacks in the best position to be successful. And, you know, again, I'm left kind of feeling like they'll figure it out because it's Aaron Rodgers, because they always figure it out, and because they do still have talent on this team. It just kind of takes time for them to piece it all together. Defensively, you know, we're seeing their defensive line play pretty strongly, like we've seen, or like we expected coming into the season. Their young secondary is slowly kind of coming together, but linebacking core, very much a work in progress. We got to see the Bears take on this team, and I think we're going to see Green Bay try and build some momentum here as they go through their schedule. You know, they just got the 22-0 win over the Buffalo Bills. Then it's at Lions and then home against the 49ers until their Week 7 bye week. Those two games are very winnable games for the Packers, especially with the Lions struggles that we just talked about, and then the 49ers going with their backup quarterback. You could see the Packers very easily sit at 4-1-1 entering the bye week. Then they get Rams, Patriots, Dolphins, Seahawks, and they'll be tested a little bit more. But I think we're not far away from the Packers really kind of catapulting themselves back up into that first place discussion, into sort of the royalty of the NFC North, like we've come to expect from them. And from there, it's a kind of, okay, once they seem to get back on track these next couple weeks, what'll happen when they play a couple of good teams back-to-back? If they get through that stretch, I think it's going to be tough to hold them off too well. They're a team that's definitely going to be pushing the Bears here every game down the stretch to try and take back the division crown where the Packers so often find themselves. Coming up, we'll move to the third NFC North team for our third segment here of Locked On Bears. And right now we don't have a Locked On Vikings host in the fold. And I know they're working on someone behind the scenes, so I don't have any up-to-date Locked On Vikings podcast for you, but I found something else that I think gets the job done pretty effectively here. So we'll try and take a look at what's been going wrong for the Vikings in the last few weeks as they sit at 1-2-1. Despite entering this season as really one of the Super Bowl favorites. That's next on Locked On Bears. We move now to the Minnesota Vikings, the once favored NFC North team entering this season. That vaunted defense, adding Kirk Cousins offensively, the quarterback to make the difference. And, you know, week one against the 49ers, they came out all right. And, you know, things were on track. Then they tie the Packers in week two, get blown out by the Bills in week three, or at least handled by the winless Josh Allen-led Bills in the upset of the season so far. And then on Thursday night last week, they were out-dueled by the Los Angeles Rams. They head to the Philadelphia Eagles this week for another tough matchup, and they're a team that's, again, not living up to their potential. Some clear weaknesses, especially offensively, but the defense not playing up to the level that a lot of people were expecting. And it's an interesting case to kind of look at from the outside. That's why I wanted to get more of an inside perspective. Like I mentioned earlier, we are still getting a Locked On Vikings host squared away here, so I had to look elsewhere for some Vikings analysis, and I turned to the Minnesota Vikings official site. They do a show called The Winning Formula, and you will hear Mike Wobschel, Ron Johnson, Paul Allen, and Randy Moss. No, not the Hall of Fame wide receiver Randy Moss, but the other Randy Moss from NFL Network, the bald guy. They break down kind of Kirk Cousins' individual success in the context of the rest of the Vikings offense and the strange struggles we've seen from Mike Zimmer's defense.
Well, in our worlds, there's only one Kirk Cousins, and guess what? He's on pace to throw for 5,500 yards, Randy. Is that a good or a bad thing?
The obvious answer, without thinking about it, is that it would be a good thing because you want your quarterback to obviously, you know, throw as effectively as possible. But when you dig down a little deeper, I think the way the Vikings play, it's not necessarily a good thing. I think the Vikings want to have more of a balanced offensive attack and not rely on Cousins to have to throw the ball as often as he's throwing it. And right now the Vikings are struggling mightily running the ball.
Oof. Yeah, and I think Randy's right. I mean, the Vikings have the fewest rushing attempts in the NFL and the most passing attempts in the NFL, so that's not good. But Cousins' production is good, and Ron, when you are on pace for 5,500 yards, that means you're doing something right through the air, and we've seen the Vikings late in games be able to move the ball down the field, particularly in Green Bay, so I like that.
A lot of offense so far in the Winning Formula. Why wouldn't it be? We have a former wide receiver and somebody named Randy Moss, but we need to focus on defense. Ron, we begin with you. With the Vikings' either perceived or realistic defensive issues, what needs to be fixed like quickest?
Yeah, coverage. I mean, you look at Xavier Rhodes, he is not, that's, we're not going to say he's a shell of himself, but if you watch a couple of those routes Robert Woods ran and Brandon Cooks, he looked out of position. I don't know if, and like Mike Zimmer said, he might have overcoached these guys to where they're overthinking everything and not just playing football. But in that coverage, we have to put Anthony Barr in there. He's been asked to cover a lot this year, and I think that has to change. You're going to have to bring that third safety in the game a little bit more because teams have exposed that Anthony Barr is not a great downfield. You know, he's not an Eric Kendrick plays pretty decent coverage downfield. Anthony Barr is not that guy. And the Rams just figured out how to expose it.
When you look at last year, right, I mean, you can definitely make the case that Aaron Donald and Linval Joseph were the two best interior offensive linemen in the NFL. Joseph has not been as dominant the first four games of this year as he was last year. You look at the secondary, right? When Trey Waynes has been targeted, the passer rating for the opposing quarterback, 157.6.
Ooh.
Perfect is 158.3.
Yeah.
Mackenzie Alexander's been targeted 10 times, 10 completions. So I think there's enough pain to be spread around. But what's encouraging to me, and I know this sounds a little bit funny.
Yeah.
At NFL Network, we use Pro Football Focus and Radar 360 as our analytical tools. If you look at Pro Football Focus and you look at the rating for each player, right? The scouting rating for each player through the first four games, you compare it to 2017, it's across the board. Literally every player on defense is graded lower in 2018 than they were for the full season in 2017. Now, we've all seen players that can have a drop-off in performance from one year to the next for various reasons, but to have an entire team drop off is so completely illogical that it leads me to believe that with so many good athletes and with Mike Zimmer calling the shots,
it changed.
He'll fix it.
Yeah, and I agree with that. And I don't think the blame should go on Mike Zimmer here. But the buck does stop with him, and he mentioned overcoaching at one of his press conferences. If everyone cared as much as Coach Zimmer and everyone was as good as Coach Zimmer at their job, we wouldn't be having any problems. So the blame doesn't go to him, but the fact that what Randy is saying, that across the board there is a drop in performance, it tells me that with one or two appropriate tweaks at the right time by Mike Zimmer, it can be fixed.
Again, that was Winning Formula from the Minnesota Vikings with hosts Mike Wobschall, Ron Johnson, and Paul Allen, joined by Randy Moss, the other Randy Moss from the NFL Network. And it's clear that, like, you know, unlike some of the Lions' defensive issues, the Vikings' defense has the talent. Missing Everson Griffin is hurting them from a pass rush standpoint, but, you know, they also just haven't been getting enough from Danielle Hunter and some of their other interior rushers as well. And the linebacker position has been a little bit troublesome, with Anthony Barr getting picked on in coverage quite a bit. And then, you know, Xavier Rhodes is kind of back to having some ups and downs, and their cornerbacks in general just haven't been as solid, which maybe points to, again, the pass rush affecting that, the way we've kind of seen the Bears cornerbacks step up with a good pass rush. A lack of a pass rush can put your cornerbacks in some pretty difficult situations. So it's kind of a weird start and a struggle for this Minnesota Vikings defense. And then offensively, they can't get the running game going as well as they'd like to. And I really think a lot of that just comes down to one of the worst offensive lines in the NFC. Injuries have certainly contributed to that, but that's what leaves me a little bit pessimistic about the long-term success of this Vikings team. Not that I think they're going to necessarily miss the playoffs, but you can't just fix a bad offensive line in the middle of the season. It's not like, you know, it's not like this defense where they might be able to tweak a couple things schematically and maybe get a couple guys back and pick up that pass rush and then have the rest of their unit get better as a result. There's only so much you can do to cover up a bad offensive line. And, you know, with the way the Bears have been playing lately, it feels like the Vikings are a team the Bears can stay ahead of. And it feels to me like, you know, Green Bay is the better of the two, Vikings and Packers. And the Bears, I believe, are right up there with them right now. That when you have a defense in Chicago playing so well, you know, if you match up with this Minnesota Vikings offense, I'm taking the Bears front seven versus their offensive line, and it really has limited what they can do offensively, despite Kirk Cousins producing at the level he has. I don't, you know, this Vikings offense doesn't scare me enough against this Bears defense. And then on the other side, until this Vikings defense starts to put it together here, yeah, you know, I think Matt Nagy's going to be able to find some space to work with, especially if the Vikings struggle to rush the passer. So, you know, I don't know. The Vikings are already playing from behind. They're already trying to fix some of their defensive issues, and they don't really have a solution for some of their offensive line issues. I'm not ready to write them off completely, but I am ready to put the Bears right in that conversation with them, which brings us to then the Green Bay Packers as kind of the one team here where I just can't find myself betting against Aaron Rodgers. That I think the Bears will be able to compete with the Packers down towards the end of the season, pushing for that division crown, pushing for that wild card spot, especially as you kind of look at the Bears' schedule as they go along here. They come out of the bye week with Dolphins, Patriots, Jets, Bills. That might be a 3-1 stretch with the struggles of the Dolphins, Jets, and Bills. Then you're sitting at 6-2 after the first 8 games. Gives you a nice little cushion to work with as the second half of the season gets a little tougher, with the Vikings twice, the Lions twice, and the Packers once, the Rams in there as well. You know, there's going to be some losses down that stretch, but even if you finish 4-4 in those last 4 games, you're still sitting at 10-6 right there. That'll leave you enough to compete with Green Bay, who will be probably pushing a similar, you know, 10-6, 11-5 type finish. They're, you know, they don't look like a 12-4 team at this point already, with a loss and a tie on their record. And so I do think the Bears are right here in the NFC North. I think they're playing better than most people expected, or at least a lot of what we saw after week one. They've started to turn it around. The Packers are not playing as well as people expected. The Vikings certainly aren't playing as well as everyone expected. So this is the time for the Bears to take the NFC North. And I think the most encouraging part is that this is just a team continuing to get better, and that will only get better not only as this season goes on, but heading into the next couple of years. That they're still very limited in year one of Matt Nagy's offense, and they already see themselves in a prime position to compete for this NFC North crown. I'm not ready to hand it to him just yet. It's only been a 4-game sample size, but heading into the bye week, this is a winnable NFC North for the Chicago Bears. I hope Locked On Bears is helping you get through this bye week. We've had a full week of podcast Chicago Bears news and analysis sitting here for you. If you haven't been able to catch up on it all, well, you've got Sunday off this week, so plenty of time this weekend to get all of the Chicago Bears news and analysis you could possibly want. Make sure you are subscribed to the podcast. Do us a favor, tell a fellow Bears fan about Locked On Bears, because you know all of your friends that are Bears fans, they're not going to have anything to do on Sunday. They're probably going to have their spouse or whoever tell them to do chores around the house, and that's the best time to throw in the headphones and listen to some podcasts. Listen to that Chicago Bears talk right in your ear, because you know what? Even when there isn't a Bears game on Sunday, you don't get to see Trubisky throw six more touchdowns this week, you can still find a reason to bear down.